Council and executive staff is interpreting and coming to some type of resolution with clarity. And so in the interest of time, we're going to stop the hearing temporarily for items number 9 and 10. We will move on then to item number 11, which is an informational item for an update of the development of the Laguna TMDL.
Well, good morning, Board. I'm Rebecca Fitzgerald of your staff, and as you said, we're here to give you an update on our TMDL development efforts for the Laguna de Santa Rosa. And I'm very pleased to introduce this gentleman to my right, Mr. David Kuzmar, who's a professional engineer and new to our staff, or again, to our staff as of this past summer. So I've happily had him jump into project management for this complex and wonderful TMDL. So I will turn it over to him, let him tell you a little bit about it, about his experience and why he just might be familiar to some of you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, Chairman Noren and members of the board. I can't tell you how slightly surreal and amusing it is to be sitting here in front of this board again. Oh, my name is David Kuzmar. I'm a,
and we've forgotten the buses of protesters for your hearing. I'm sorry.
As Rebecca mentioned, I am a new old member of your staff. Mr. Massey and Mr. Corbett will remember countless hearings related primarily to the Pacific Lumber Company some years ago. That was what I was doing during my previous tenure at this organization. Since then, I've spent a number of years outside the organization working as a consulting civil engineer in a small firm in Eureka. I also tried my hand at teaching a little bit at Humboldt State University in the engineering department. But I'm pleased to be back. I was recently hired back into a new position for me in the TMDL unit. And as Rebecca mentioned, one of my primary assignments is that of project lead for the Laguna de Santa Rosa TMDLs. I am taking over that job from Rebecca, who was promoted to be the supervisor of the TMDL unit. So let's have a go here. Before we start, I'd like to acknowledge a few others on our staff who contribute significantly to this project. This is a large project for us and for the TMDL unit. With me up here, of course, is my supervisor, Rebecca. Our watershed nutrient and all things TMDL expert, Steve Butkus, happens to be in Sacramento today helping with the statewide mercury program, but he has contributed heavily on the technical side of things toward getting our TMDLs prepared for this watershed. Clayton Krieger, who was in the building at least earlier today.
He's in the audience.
Oh. He's sneaking over there.
There he is. Clayton is another important contributor, one, because he has a deep knowledge of the Laguna system, but two, because of his experience implementing the TMDLs in the Klamath watershed. And I look forward to partnering with him in establishing the implementation plan for this project. Bob Leggy is our newest hire, and he's working with Tom Williams, a registered geologist and one of our timber unit chiefs. They are helping us out with GIS and sediment work on these TMDLs. And Catherine Carter and Alita Mangelsdorf, both of the Watershed Protection Division, are lending support in the areas of basin planning and fisheries. So there are others that are contributing to this project for sure, but that's our primary squad. All right, so here's what we will be talking about this morning. I'll be taking you all on a very quick tour around the Laguna watershed, touch briefly on what a TMDL is, then outline the scope of this Laguna TMDL project. After that, we'll get into the heart of the presentation, and I'll provide you with a summary of our progress in four specific areas of our work. We'll finish up with a review of our current project schedule. Provided all goes smoothly, this presentation should last no more than about 30 minutes. That is, unless Mr. Massey gives me the nod, in which case I will speed it up. Of course, if you have any questions for me or Rebecca or anybody else on our team along the way, please feel free to ask. We'll be happy to entertain them as we go. With that, I would like to open with a sentiment and some borrowed slide material from Valerie Minton of the Sodiomi RCD. The Laguna. It's a big deal. It really is. For starters, the Laguna Basin happens to be the largest tributary to the Russian River. Whoa, I got ahead of myself there. So here's the Russian River Basin on our map. Let's just get them all up there. This area here is the Laguna Basin, about 254 square miles. It's the metropolitan center of our region. It contains the city of Santa Rosa, as well as Windsor, Sebastopol, Cotati, and Rohnert Park. This is as densely populated as it gets in our very large region. Despite that, over a quarter of the watershed area is designated as important farmland by the California Department of Conservation. And the Laguna and its adjacent surroundings still have room to be the largest freshwater wetlands complex on the Northern California coast. This complex is home to an impressive and diverse array of plant and animal life, many of which are either threatened or endangered species. In fact, this was news to me. The Laguna is sufficiently unique and biodiverse that it has been named a wetland of international importance by an international organization called the Ramsar Convention on Wetlands. There are only 30 wetland ecosystems in this country that have that designation. Like I said, it's a big deal. Truly, it's hard to find a watershed in our region that is as ecologically and economically important to its constituents. And I can tell you that we, as your TMDL unit staff, are approaching this project with a great deal of care and a great deal of seriousness as we progress with our work. Okay, so let's zoom in a bit, try to get our bearings here. Here's that basin up close. I apologize for the sketchy map, but I think this will do. The Laguna watershed, as we've identified it for purposes of our TMDL project, consists of several sub-basins, all of which drain to the Russian River, which flows south and then west here. Going around the horn, I'll just point some of these drainages out to you. Here's Windsor Creek. We have Marquest Creek that comes down to the confluence of the main Laguna. We have two branches of Santa Rosa Creek flowing that way. Here's the Laguna proper, or at least what most of us recognize as the Laguna proper. There are a couple other tribs. We have Blucher Creek here and Copeland Creek coming in through Cotati. Back to just one other note on the Laguna proper for those who may not be as familiar with it as we are. This whole stretch represents the lower portion of the watershed, and it exists as essentially a string of little lake-like, very slow-moving waters and adjacent marshy wetland areas. I mentioned the metropolitan areas in this basin. Quickly, the city of Santa Rosa proper is right here. There's Cotati, Sebastopol squeezed in right there. Windsor is up top. And where we sit here today is right about there. Okay, so we have this big deal watershed. It's a very unique natural setting. It's heavily populated. And it turns out we have a handful of water quality problems that need addressing. Based on available data, we've determined through the 303D listing process that the Laguna de Santa Rosa watershed, or at least portions of it, is currently impaired for all the constituents that you see here. Waters and waterways in this drainage exhibit elevated levels of nutrients those being nitrogen and phosphorus, and organic matter, low levels of dissolved oxygen, high water temperatures, high levels of sedimentation, all of which lead to degraded habitat, the widespread growth of Ludwigia and other problematic plant and algal species, and other impediments to ecosystem health. Now, given the overlapping nature of water quality problems in this watershed related to nitrogen and phosphorus and dissolved oxygen and temperature and sediment, we have elected to package the TMDLs for those five impairments and address them as a single product. Indeed, they're very interrelated. It would make no sense to separate them. The bacteria and mercury listings, however, will be handled through separate efforts. Oh, this will be a fun one. Well, it's fun for me. All right, so I've just uttered the term TMDL. For the benefit of those in the room not familiar with what a TMDL is, here's my best shot so far on one slide of what that is. A TMDL, which stands for Total Maximum Daily Load, is a tool that this agency uses to control pollution in an impaired water body. Where we have evidence to suggest that water quality standards are not being met, or where the beneficial uses of water have been degraded, we can develop a TMDL to address the problem. The exercise consists of a series of calculations or quantitative assessments to determine, one, the extent of an observed or suspected water quality problem, two, the sources contributing to that problem, whether they be natural or point sources or non-point sources, three, the amount of a particular pollutant, or in the case of the Laguna, five pollutants, a water body can handle and still support the beneficial uses, and four, to determine the appropriate levels and allocations of source reductions necessary to reach target conditions. So looking at my slide and listening to what I just said, it looks like I squeezed a bonus one in there, but that, in a nutshell, is what a TMDL is. The quantitative work, this part right here, is often referred to as a technical TMDL. That would be what the product that we ship off to the EPA to approve. However, our work here at the regional board isn't really over until we devise and implement a plan to meet the TMDLs we develop and establish a system of monitoring capable of tracking the success of that plan over time. That brings us to our current scope of work in the Laguna. As I mentioned, this is a big one for us. For the five impairments I just mentioned, we're developing technical TMDLs and the accompanying implementation and monitoring plans. In addition, you'll see a couple other things on this slide here. We are simultaneously working on revising, possibly for region-wide use, but at least for use specific to the Laguna, the current basin plan water quality objective for dissolved oxygen. We also intend to refine and maybe even introduce a couple of new beneficial use designations. That effort will also be specific to the Laguna. All of these efforts we intend to bundle together and bring to you, the board, for your consideration and approval. After that, we'll usher the bundle through the necessary gauntlet of the State Water Board and the US EPA, and then our TMDL development work will be complete. Okay, so there's the setting, there's the project scope, and now for the update. How far have we progressed toward completing this project since last you heard from us, which I believe was nearly a year ago? Do I have to wrap it up already?
Oh, yeah. He pounds that gavel, you know.
Have I been thrown out?
It ain't me, man. Keep going.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kuzmar. This has been enlightening.
All right. So there we go. So the executive officer summary report for this item summarizes our progress, and we specified those areas of progress to four for particular areas. We'll run briefly through these now. I intend to feed you a few examples and some specifics for each area. And again, we're both happy to entertain any questions you have along the way. So let's start first with where we stand to date with our technical TMDL development efforts. So in addition to preparing a watershed description, a conceptual model, and a problem statement, the US EPA requires us to prepare these specific, these specific elements for each TMDL. And those elements will arrive as technical written products, essentially. And we prefer to package them as chapters to a staff report, a very large staff report. At this time, draft versions of the watershed description and the conceptual model and the problem statement chapters are largely complete, as are the technical chapters devoted to nutrients and dissolved oxygen. Our work on the temperature and sediment TMDLs is well underway, but still under construction. Now, while these draft materials are still undergoing internal review, they're not quite ready for prime time, what is available now to the public as of this week is a collection of technical memoranda that support what will ultimately be our public draft document. So anybody interested in reviewing those memoranda, and there are a number of them, they can go to our website, find the TMDL page, find the Laguna page, and there they'll be. We prefer to do our work in this fashion for such a large project because it allows us to take care of our work in bite-sized chunks. We draft a memo, review it, complete it, set it aside, go for another one. That way, by the time we end up with this several hundred page TMDL document, we don't get lost in the shuffle. And also, it's a nice way of categorizing things that certain people might be interested in. Maybe somebody's interested in sediment, but they could care less about temperature. Well, hopefully our little archive of memoranda will be a useful research tool for them. Finally, getting to this slide, you'll notice this line right here. I'd like to point out that all of our technical work to date has been devoted to establishing loading capacities for each listed sediment. So we're trying to deal with this stack of work, and then we're stopping here. We have yet really to start asking the difficult questions about load allocation. We don't expect to get into that discussion until we first had the chance to discuss the previous material, this stuff here, with our stakeholders. We would like to get to a point with interested parties in the watershed and stakeholders to have some common understanding of what we understand the loading capacities of this watershed to be. And then in a separate effort, we will be discussing our options for load allocations. All right, for those of you who think it's been too long since you've seen a map or a table of data, this is for you. I don't intend to get too bogged down in this. We could stare at this. I have indeed for hours, but this is just a slice. It's a sneak peek of, or at least an illustration of our conceptual model for the Laguna. And I'll follow that by some very preliminary, some summary findings about phosphorus. What we have here is a map of the Laguna watershed that illustrates the land use types or land cover pre-settlement. And by pre-settlement, we mean mid-1800s. And what's important to point out here, or what I'd like to highlight here, is this lower portion of the watershed. The lower Laguna or the Laguna main stem, or the Laguna proper, depending on how you like to refer to it. And you'll notice in this particular map, we have a broad swath of really gushy, marshy wetland areas. You don't see a lot of creeks running through this area. It's not very channelized. You see these large lake-like features all stacked together in a series. That is definitely in contrast to what you'll see on the next slide, which is current day conditions. Now I'm going to show you this, and it's going to look like, oh my gosh, what happened? I'll have to apologize now that the color schemes on these two maps are not necessarily equal. So really what's going on up in this upper portion where we have rangelands and forest lands, not a lot of that has changed, but what you will see is a drastic alteration of this area here. There we have it. So again, this, because the colors are different on this map, it really has not drastically changed, but the development of all these municipal areas here and the development of this lower area of the watershed as farmlands and pastures, that is where the most drastic alteration has occurred. And here's what I notice in this. I notice that where once before we just had this big marshy bog right here, we now have a bunch of channels. And those channels were installed to drain that land and make it usable for farming and for grazing. Moreover, some of these channels have been straightened to help out with flood conveyance. Is our internet back on?
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Killer. Another thing I'd like to point out is that all those old lake-like features here, which were pretty wide as you went down the watershed, have really been narrowed and they've been shallowed. And part of that is because the watershed is now more impervious. Definitely marshy areas have either been drained or filled in order to make them productive. And the point of walking you through these two slides, and I'll go back, there was pre-settlement, here's post. The point to make by reviewing this is the Laguna watershed is a drastically altered system. Drastically. And it's lost much of its capacity that it once had to assimilate pollutants. We know that the place is not going to return to this state again. Right, that is the past. But our TMDL needs to be geared to deal with the realities of this situation and to protect and reasonably restore the beneficial uses that this system can support. Okay, there's one more significant point I'd like to drive home here, and then we'll get out of maps and tables. So the one constituent I'd like to discuss with you briefly right now is phosphorus. To make a long story short, we're finding through our analyses that phosphorus is the limiting nutrient in the Laguna system, which drives aquatic plant growth and algae growth and contributes to critically low dissolved oxygen levels, especially during the dry and warm weather season. Current total phosphorus concentrations in the Laguna far exceed U.S. EPA criteria for healthy waters. Looking for ways to address this problem, staff have reviewed the sources of phosphorus in the watershed by land use and by season. And while we have found that total phosphorus concentrations have decreased significantly in the mainstem Laguna since the 1970s, and I think this is probably in large part due to improvements in our wastewater treatment facilities, high levels of phosphorus still persist. And it's not just in the runoff coming off the landscape, it's in the nutrient-rich sediment that has been accumulating in the bottom of the channel over the decades. This is problematic. If this is the situation, then what must we conclude? although these numbers aren't set in stone, I think we have the ballpark right. Our preliminary analyses are showing that we need significant reductions to the tune of, say, 80 or 90% from current loads in total phosphorus to restore the beneficial uses in this watershed. Now, it will be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, for the users of this watershed to reduce phosphorus loads to that degree through source controls alone. We could turn off all the sources in the watershed, I believe, and still not see water quality conditions return to standards due to what has already been deposited in the channel. So this poses a difficult water quality case. And in difficult cases such as this, the prescription for health is not just diet, but it's diet and exercise. In addition to, I have to give credit to Rebecca for teaching me that. David? In addition to controlling our nutrient sources, it appears that it'll also be necessary to implement other actions, more deliberate actions that increase the main stem's ability to process those nutrients. And we're talking, you know, we're talking wetland restoration here. We're talking rehab projects, channel modifications, and other nutrient offset projects. Some heavy-handed stuff. So, not just diet, but diet and exercise. Laguna care. That one's mine. All right, so clearly the work that lies ahead of us in the Laguna is sizable and it's complex, and we're well aware that this watershed's recovery is contingent not just on the merits of our technical work, but on the cooperation and the dedication of the watershed's inhabitants, which leads us to out of the technical realm and into another area of progress, our stakeholder outreach. The Laguna watershed is important to a lot of people and a lot of critters for many different reasons. The importance of casting a wide net to involve all those interested in our TMDL development and implementation work cannot be understated, I don't think. Accordingly, Rebecca, long before I returned here, back in 2010, developed a stakeholder plan for this project, and we continue to implement that plan as our work proceeds. Staff understands, and I want the board to understand this, because I think that, at least individually, a number of you have made it clear that this is your interest. Staff understands that it is critical that we keep our stakeholders, all of our stakeholders, informed, and that we listen to them carefully as we proceed with our work, and that we understand the implications of our work moving forward as we work to complete this project. Over the past 5 months since I've been hired, I've had the pleasure to go on tour with Rebecca and have begun to meet many of our stakeholders, some in casual meetings, other at large events like the Russian River Watershed Symposium, and others at more formal presentations that we've given. As having been the project lead for just a few months, I can admit that I have not yet met nearly enough of my stakeholders, but I will continue to fill my schedule with every opportunity to meet a new face, and I encourage anybody in the room who I have not yet met to grab me after this presentation, and I'll happily have a chat with you and share with you my contact info. And I'm looking forward to rounds of discussion with all interested parties as our technical work becomes available, and as we move into dealing with the questions of load allocations and also implementation actions. Our next big forum-style stakeholder event is tentatively scheduled for February, and members of the public will be made aware of our plans for that through the normal channels, our website, our LIRIS list, phone calls, et cetera. Okay. All right, so early implementation efforts in this watershed have been taking up a pretty decent amount of our time. Since this is a TMDL that's going through as a basin plan amendment, we know it's going to be a while before the thing is finally codified in our basin plan. Nothing stops us from getting ahead of the game early, and we have a two-pronged strategy for doing that. First, it's our intention to make use of every existing permit and program that we can and tailor it such that it can fold into our TMDL implementation. We have been involved in the development of the Ag Lands permit. We have been present for discussions with the Town of Windsor and the City of Santa Rosa for their NPDES permits, and we are tracking pretty much every program you see up here and doing what we can to clear the way for meeting our TMDL targets by implementing these existing programs whenever possible. Beyond that, there are things that I would consider maybe less regulatory that we are busy doing as well. We're working to support grant projects in the watershed, any grant projects, not just 319H grants like I have listed up here. We've committed in a number of cases to serve on technical advisory committees to support programs that are being run by such groups as the resource conservation districts. We have two really good ones in this watershed, the Sodiomi Resource Conservation District and the Gold Ridge RCD. And they're very active and very engaged and very busy. And we're glad for that because we need that kind of support and cooperation. And lastly, an example I'll bring up in this vein, which we feel is particularly promising, is our work to help develop a water quality credit trading program in this watershed. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or not, but I'll give you a quick heads up. The Sodiomi RCD recently received a grant from the Natural Resources Conservation Service. It's a conservation innovation grant, and the purpose of this grant is to develop a water quality credit trading program for the Laguna watershed. And this whole project was largely spurned by the actions of this board. First, you approved a permit that essentially allowed no net loading of nutrients for the City of Santa Rosa's wastewater treatment facility. And then you approved the sediment offset program to help the city comply with that permit. Because of these actions, demand was created for a market, and the RCD has assembled a really good group of folks. The Willamette Partnership is involved, several different agencies, a lot of local experts, and we're enthused by the promise that this holds. And this is the type of thing that we're looking for in terms of innovative and collaborative opportunities to get toward our TMDL targets in the future. I'll spare you more gory details, but I will give you a final comment. Where we have such complex and long-standing water quality problems, like we see in the Laguna watershed and like we see in the Klamath watershed, staff feels strongly that we need to look for innovative and collaborative approaches, like water quality credit trading, like the Klamath tracking and accounting program. And you know, we think without that kind of buy-in and without that kind of creativity, it's going to be difficult with our traditional regulatory tools to really get back to the conditions we want to see in these very unique and sensitive environments. There's more to come. There are conservation projects and 30-party programs and a number of other things that we haven't even scratched the surface on yet. And we're considering it all to be on the table, and we look forward to coming back to you to report on what appear to be the most promising avenues. I'll leave you with our schedule, and I apologize for prattling on and on. It turns out I missed you guys. The part of the schedule that will matter to you the most will probably be this target here. In early to mid 2014, we expect to bring the TMDLs to this board for your consideration. In the meantime, you'll see that our stakeholder outreach will be ongoing. We're going to squeeze in a peer review of our draft document once we think it's ready. And we'll fine-tune it from there and then issue our public draft document along with all the attendant CEQA materials and basin plan amendment requirements and everything else. So it'll be several three-ring binders, I'm sure. But that's where we stand right now. And if all goes smoothly, then sometime in early or mid 2015, we should have ourselves a done deal. That is all. Are there any
questions?
That's your
story.
That's my story.
I like your story. I thank you very much for coming. Thanks for coming back, by the way, and you know, coming back into an organization that obviously Rebecca's got a good team working on this, and you bolster that team. You supplement the agency, and your approach and energy are great. Thanks for the information. I find it interesting on the Laguna TMDL that, you know, there's an alignment of programs here. We're looking at a watershed that is highly urbanized. It's got a lot of agriculture around it. It's got a history and a story behind it. It's got a lot of sequestered nutrients. And it's a change. You're right, it's changed. I live out on the Laguna. I'm actually part of the problem, I think. And at the same time, and I'd admit that's okay. And at the same time, I see a dairy program that's robust, that is, there are dairies on the Laguna. They are also a contributor, as are the MS4 programs with City of Santa Rosa. I see Lynn Small here and some other folks from City of Santa Rosa. I'm interested in MS4 Phase 2 because I'm aware that, you know, Roanoke Park, Cotati, Sebastopol, and some of the others are out there. And I think it's interesting also to look around the corner at Agland program and how that fits into the equation. All those become implementing programs that then have legs under them now, so that when you do hit, well, and actually it's happening now, this early implementation is something that I think pays great dividends, and I think we've seen that, we've proven that, and I think that's very smart as a strategy. Outreach and to the stakeholders out there, I think, works hand in hand with that, to not only disseminate information, so because there's a significant amount of education that happens here, but also to make sure that that integration of TMDL outcomes that you see coming, that you're working on and developing, become part of an integration to not only the one-way integration of programs that are coming into implementation, but also that it goes the other way, that we're educating our partners out there, that we're working with them, and we're setting expectation about what's coming. It's interesting, too, that in the Laguna, as I see it, you know, phosphorus as being a limiting nutrient. Can you expound upon that a little bit, David? Because as I understand, that a lot of that nutrient is sequestered in sediments. There has been a good amount of sedimentation within this, especially that main stem that's up against the west side. How do you envision then, without prejudging outcomes in the early implementation, the exercise part of that health program, if everything's on the table, I would imagine here, you can't shut off the spigot and just make this go away. There's a tremendous amount of sequestered nutrient in this system. So how do we get to that with an altered system? How do you envision that happening?
Would you like to give it a shot? I've spoken for far longer.
So you first started by asking about phosphorus as the limiting nutrient in the system. And one of the reasons we're seeing that is there is a natural native nitrogen fixer in this whole watershed called azolla. And it's a little water fern. And so it's will naturally fix that nitrogen from the atmosphere and put it in. And in many freshwater systems, the EPA has been finding that it really is phosphorus that is is the nutrient that is driving a lot of the algal growth and the productivity as far as a source that's coming in from the watershed, and less so on the the nitrogen side. So yes, we are we're looking more at the source control piece. We're looking more at phosphorus than nitrogen. There is a huge amount of sediment oxygen demand in the main stem channel that is a significant driver of the low dissolved oxygen levels this is one of the results of our technical analysis that we're finding. So we're hypothesizing that it's a lot of historic discharges from the watershed, runoff, probably even historic wastewater discharges before a lot of the improvements in the 70s. And the channel is filled in with this. So you got this internal cycle that's really also contributing to the DO. It's going to be a challenge to come up with, I think, a vision, that is really successful in addressing this. I think we need to consider a variety of options, some changes to the channel. Geomorphology itself is definitely worth considering. That might range from changing the way that the main stem flows. It could include dredging. You also have the opportunity, I think, to get some increased assimilative capacity by adding some wetlands, increase some wetlands into the system, and perhaps some wetland restoration projects or rehabilitation projects. There's a lot of potential out there. The Sonoma County Water Agency has a stream maintenance program that kind of ends around Stony Point Road and doesn't go down to the lower parts of the main stem channel. And maybe looking at taking what they've developed in their stream maintenance program and bringing it down is something that I think we should all talk about more. And I know there's some folks from the Water Agency here who might be hearing that for the first time, but these are things that we're just starting to consider, and we really want to have a really good discussion with our stakeholders about, because I think that there are other ideas out there that we want to hear as well.
Well, Rebecca, you mentioned too the hydromodification, and the thing is to me that as I've understood, the Lewidia problem is really a symptom of a bigger problem here. It's, there were great efforts, Herculean efforts in some ways, to try to remove that stuff, whether it be mechanical or herbicides and that kind of thing. And the Lewidia to me is a symptom of a greater problem. And it's interesting because I drove this morning out at Sebastopol across, High School Road and that way, and it's there. It's in front of you every day when you drive across, and it's a reminder of the work ahead and maybe the opportunities ahead with that. So let me be quiet here for a minute and let my fellow board members.
I just want to remind the chairman at 11:28, I have to step out for a conference call with the Federal Court of Appeals.
And thank you, John.
We have a quorum problem on the other side, so we may want to continue this or close it off.
How about we do this? May I suggest, my understanding, I see staff back from talking over Occidental.
Yes.
In the interest of maintaining quorum, which you're going to have to go eat cookies again. Mr. Massey's going to have to recuse himself, so why don't we
I did it just to get rid of Bill,
No. why don't we take a brief break here? There's great interest in the Laguna and what you guys are doing. In the interest of expediency and maintaining quorum here, can we then go back into session, let the record reflect that we're going back in session on items number 9 and 10 to take up Occidental? So if I could ask you just to...
Absolutely.
And I apologize to you.
Oh, no problem.
You don't have to apologize. It's fine. So let the record reflect we're going to go back into session on items number 9 and 10 for Occidental to finish up on that. And let the record reflect that Mr. Massey has left the room. Any other questions for either Mr. Kuzmar or Rebecca?
Bill may want to come back.
He's probably.
He acted as though he wanted to say something.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a comment.
Mr. Hale.
I think it's, we as board members, it's ultimately imperative that we're representing stakeholders. And so the stakeholder process that you've outlined, we support that. We have other TMDL efforts that are being done right now. And so I just want to be sure, whether it's a 12,000 square mile, a 250 square mile, a 50 square mile watershed, we treat these a little bit differently sometimes because the issues vary from watershed to watershed. We're developing a TMDL. But the communication is something that we strive very hard to maintain and to provide an explanation of what, why, and how we're doing our work. And so I would just encourage you, as you do this, because it's a fairly substantial watershed that you're working in, and it's going to have a fair amount of outreach, you're going to be learning things as you go along with this. And so if you can just share it within your TMDL unit as we work in other watersheds, I don't know how you deal with things over on that side of the building when you guys get together for your, you know, Monday morning group hug and say how we're doing, but if you're finding an effective way of getting the message across to folks, you know, please share that, and even with other groups and doing workshops, because that's a lot of times that's the big challenge that we have, is getting the message out. So
I can make a comment or two, maybe to build on that. We've had the opportunity to help develop the AgLands discharge program. Mm-hmm. And as part of that program, we have at our disposal a facilitator, a paid contractor from the
Center for Collaborative Policy out of Sacramento State. Right.
And that has been wonderful. I wish I had somebody like that at my disposal for our Laguna efforts. So that's one thing. To the degree that we can ever drum up that kind of help, it puts staff in a much more comfortable position to have a third-party, neutral, professional facilitator and not have to play the dual role of, you know, I don't know if we're really considered an advocate in a particular issue, but we have a stake. To do that and also have to simultaneously run, organize meetings and keep everything on the level playing field is difficult. The second thing I would say that I've found, and this is just an observation so far, is we're having a lot of success, and I think the TMDL unit recognizes this, in varying the sizes of the groups that we deal with, definitely in stakeholder processes. Depending on what the mission is of your conversation, you know, sometimes it's informative, but sometimes it's to build a consensus, sometimes it's to seek a vote. But despite those differences, we're really enjoying the benefits of changing the sizes of the groups that we deal with from task to task. A lot of times we get a lot out of having a really large group, but then again, it's really helpful to squeeze things down. And I think we're learning that, not just going with the same format on down the line for a particular project. It's a lot of times advantageous to get in a room one-on-one, get in a room 50-1. That's been helpful to us, and I think we'll continue to work that way.
Thanks.
John, did you have any
just super briefly getting back to the phosphorus that's embedded in the sediment? I assume it's got to be chemically reactive because that's what's causing problems downstream. What's the shelf life, you think? I mean, is it 100 years to clear out, 50 years, 20 years, 10 years, or do you have any idea at all?
You know what? I don't. I don't know how much of a sediment oxygen demand might be in the sediments that are under that initial layer.
Yeah.
We haven't done the sediment coring to have an assessment of that at this point. Would like to, though.
Mr. Massey.
David, first of all, welcome back to the board. You belonged here, and I don't know why you went away, but I'm very glad to have you back. On your sixth slide, you showed impairments of nitrogen, phosphorus, dissolved oxygen, temperature, sediment. Said those are all going to get lumped as one. Bacteria and mercury are going to be treated as individuals. My understanding of a TMDL is that it is limited, could be limited by nitrogen or phosphorus. That how are you going to do that? I guess that's the question. Did I misunderstand you? And are we going to do it that way? And how are we going to do it that way?
I'll take a stab at that, if you don't mind, Mr. Massey.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be developing individual total maximum daily loads with load allocations for each one of those pollutants that are grouped up there, so both for nitrogen and for phosphorus. It's just that we're seeing kind of, with phosphorus, it really impacts the biostimulatory response, and that's the beneficial use that we're seeing being impacted. With nitrogen, we're still going to develop a TMDL for nitrogen, although really our primary concern there is with nitrogen toxicity, mm-hmm. and not so much with the eutrophication biostimulatory response. So We are still looking at all of those parameters.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just that they all have a interaction with each other. The phosphorus clings to those sediment particles.
A good canary in a mine will work just fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it. Can I ask, too, you talked about additional beneficial uses that are assigned to this water body.
Yes.
Can you expand on that, please?
Yes, we're looking at perhaps designating for the Laguna the wetland habitat beneficial use, the water quality enhancement beneficial use, and the flood peak attenuation beneficial use. All three of those uses are already in our basin plan. They're just not specifically designated to the Laguna. They're kind of, if I remember correctly, said that where these uses exist, they are there. But we want to put them in Table 2.1 for the Laguna and provide the documentation to do that. Since we're going in, this whole TMDL effort is going to be a basin plan amendment. We'll be putting the TMDL into Chapter 4. It's a good opportunity for us to simultaneously make any standards amendments as well. And these beneficial use designations kind of fall into that category.
And net effect of that, assigning beneficial uses to this water body, does it really change approach much? I mean, I could see that flood attenuation, you know, you're talking about maybe something mechanical here, talking about wetland enhancement. I could see that that could get to that part of a wetland as well. Those types of beneficial uses they're benefited by assigning that and recognizing that function of this water body.
Mm-hmm. I think it helps provide clarity. And keeps our beneficial use table up to date. In the end, I don't think it's going to change too drastically what we actually end up having in our implementation for this TMDL.
And it's interesting too, Rebecca. I just did a project in Napa, and you know, Napa and Petaluma alike have both done big efforts with flood attenuation.
Yes.
Because they had suffered from really a lot of urban flooding from a flashy and a responsive watershed. And it's amazing, you know, even through what we saw as pretty good sized event in the last week, my understanding was they got close, but it made it through and functioned well.
I think you're right.
So any other comments or questions from the board? I would ask, of course, that you come back and see us. I love hearing about what you guys are doing. I like the creative energy that you have and the momentum that you have. I'd like to know how we can assist in that. If I could ask and be so bold, you mentioned, Mr. Kuzmar, a February stakeholder meeting. I assume that's a public meeting. If I'm available, I'd like to be included in that just as an observer, of course. And this gets closer to my end of the region down here, and this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I think this is quite a fascinating study and a fascinating watershed that has great opportunity and at the same time has some problems that we are going to work on, and the time is right to do this. So I thank you very much for coming. I don't have any speaker cards for this, by the way, so this is informational at this point, but I do appreciate your attention to this and coming to us. Do you have a speaker card? Did I miss it? You know what? You are absolutely right. Valerie, right?
Well, thank you for your time, too, very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Valerie, I stand corrected. So we have Valerie Mitten, who went from a 12 to 11 on our speaker card. Please come forward. Sodiomi Resource Conservation District, one of our partners.
Well, hello, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I just wanted to, first off, thank the regional board for being so... Oh, certainly. Valerie Minton with the Sodiomi Resource Conservation District. I wanted to thank the board for being so forward-thinking in including water quality offsets as part of your early TMDL implementation, and also reiterate something that David brought up, which is that creating that real demand for water quality credits allowed us to actually bring in over $500,000 of federal dollars to support developing a water quality credit trading market in the Laguna. And we very much appreciate the support of regional board staff in this effort, the participation of regional board staff. Look forward to any engagement of the board itself in this effort in the future. And really see water quality credit trading as a way to take the challenge of urban-rural interface in watershed management and turn that into an opportunity to improve the watershed through offset projects. So thank you very much for your support, and we look forward to continuing to work with you and your staff.
Well, and thank you for coming, Valerie, and I apologize for not recognizing, you know, your speaker card up here. But at the same time, you know, as a partner out there, a very credible partner, by the way, that's working out here, I want to thank you as a forward-thinking partner, by the way, that goes out and seeks those dollars and makes those programs run. You make us better. You make the whole program better. And pairing like that is the opportunities that we need to see. You know, our staff has done that in the past, and that's paid great dividends. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. I have no other speaker cards. My plan, by the way, I see some folks here that have been here waiting for other items. Just so that you know, I would like to move, unless I hear objections, to move to item 12 and take that before lunch. We have a closed session lunch. So I assume we're going to take item number 13, which is an update on wood ash, sometime around 1 o'clock, just so that you know. So with that, I'd like to move to item number